gospel lesson today is from John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked, "Where did you get to know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And Jesus said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, open our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Before this story, John the Baptist, a man with his own disciples, proclaims that Jesus is the Lamb of God. And after that, some of John's disciples start to follow Jesus, including Andrew. When Jesus sees them following him, he asks, "What are you looking for?" And they ask, "Where are you staying?" And Jesus says, "Come and see." That's when Andrew finds his brother Simon Peter and urges him to come and follow, saying, "We have found the Messiah." Then it is the next day that Jesus goes to Galilee and calls Philip to follow him. And Philip finds Nathanael and says, "We have found him, the one the prophets wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth." Which is when Nathanael blurts out, "Can anything good come out of that little town of Nazareth?" And Philip says, "Come and see." In this short little story, we don't see Jesus just calling his first disciples. We see him calling all of us. In this story, we learn that discipleship is so much more than just believing in Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's about following Jesus. It's about turning our beliefs into action. We can't just say, "I believe in Jesus Christ." That's just the first step. Jesus asks for more. We have to get up and follow wherever he leads. It sounds really simple, but it's far more complicated, isn't it? Following Jesus requires paying attention to the voice of Jesus in the scripture and in our lives, and we have to learn his voice before we recognize it. Following also means sharing the good news by inviting others to come and see. Come and see this Jesus who has called me. It's so easy for us to stay up here in our heads with knowledge about God and ideas about why we believe in Jesus, but life with God doesn't really begin until we follow Jesus and we invite others to join us for that journey. This means we have to pay attention to God's voice. And unfortunately, we are so distracted by the world, by activities, even by our own friends and family. Our lives get so chaotic, we can barely imagine having an evening like Samuel did when he was silent and still hearing that voice of God. How often can we say that we are truly listening for the voice of God? We have so much noise in our lives. The television, internet, computer, phone, people. How often are we truly listening for God? How do we make time to do that? What needs to change in our lives to help make that happen? And what about following Jesus? Leaving people or things behind to follow. Can you even imagine those first disciples just dropping everything? Seems crazy to us because we're so busy doing what seems so important. But there's even more reasons why we don't follow Jesus. We all have our own preconceived ideas of God's call. The young Samuel assumed that the voice he heard was his mentor, Eli. He thinks this until Eli wisely tells him to go back and say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Nathaniel almost missed the opportunity of a lifetime because he couldn't see anything good coming out of the small town of Nazareth. When have we been quick to judge someone based on where they're from? It happened in the Bible. Samaritans were hated just because they were from Samaria. We also miss out on the joy of discipleship because we don't pay attention to the Bible. John the Baptist referred to Jesus as the Lamb of God, a title from the prophets. And Philip told Nathanael to come and see the one that Moses and the prophets wrote about. How are we paying attention to God's word? How are we making time to read and learn from it? What new practices this new year can keep us in the word? I know how helpful it is to have Bible apps on my phone giving me new verses and devotionals each day. It helps keep me on track with my quiet time with God in the morning. How can we stay connected with God's word this year? Sometimes we also miss out on discipleship because we don't pay attention to the wise counsel of others. Sometimes God sends a sign for us or speaks directly to our hearts, but most of the time, God uses other people to talk to us. Who are those people in your life? It was John the Baptist who brought Andrew to Jesus, then Andrew brought Simon Peter, Jesus called Philip, and then Philip brought Nathanael. Discipleship involves inviting other people to join the journey of faith. So who are we inviting? It can be as simple as just saying, "Come and see. Come and see what God's doing in my life." Discipleship is so much more than just believing in Jesus Christ. It is about paying attention, listening, following, and inviting others to join the journey. And perhaps the greatest impediment to all of that is us. In order to follow Jesus as disciples, we have to get beyond ourselves. Because our natural inclination is to do our own thing. Martin Luther King Jr. called this our drum major instinct. In a sermon he delivered at Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta in 1968, he talked about this instinct to do our own thing, to make our own plans, to get attention for ourselves. He talked about how we want to be first. We want to be recognized. We want to be followed more than to follow. And Dr. King said that gets in the way of us following Jesus Christ and finding the real path of life with God. Our drum major instinct is that instinct to desire distinction and recognition. It's the reason we join organizations so we can feel important. It's the reason we buy things we don't need so we can feel special. It's the reason we join exclusive groups that exclude other people, or the reason we put other people down so that we can feel better than them. The drum major instinct is ultimately the reason behind racial prejudice. It's when we see ourselves as superior and others as inferior. King said, "The final great tragedy of this distorted personality is the fact that when one fails to harness this instinct, he ends up trying to push others down in order to push himself up." A lot of the race problem grows out of the drum major instinct, a need that some people have to feel superior, a need that some people have to feel that they are first and to feel that their white skin ordained them to be first. To follow God, we need to focus on Jesus, not ourselves. And we all know that Jesus welcomed everyone to follow him. No one was excluded. When we follow Jesus, we're all in it together as equals, which is amazing, isn't it? At the end of this story today, Jesus says something really interesting. He says to Nathanael, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." What does he mean? Most likely, Nathanael would have known what Jesus was referring to. It's the story of Jacob, also known as Israel, and his dream of a ladder to heaven, with angels ascending and descending upon it in Genesis 28. In that vision, heaven and earth are connected. And Jesus tells Nathanael that will happen again in him. In other words, the kingdom of God that Jesus announces is in him, which is incredible. The idea that heaven and earth can meet in the person of Jesus Christ. But it's what he taught us in the Lord's Prayer when we say, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Heaven and earth do meet. Whenever we're paying attention to Jesus, whenever we're following Jesus, whenever we're inviting others to join the journey. Martin Luther King Jr. knew this to be true. He preached often of a world where God's kingdom would reign and heaven and earth would meet. In his famous I Have a Dream speech at the March on Washington in 1963, he said, "One day every valley shall be exalted, every hill and mountain made low, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. One day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. My four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." And from a Birmingham jail, King would write, "Human progress comes through the tireless efforts of persons willing to be co-workers with God, and the time is always ripe to do right." Martin Luther King Jr. taught us that following Jesus means working with God for justice, not just believing the right things, but putting that faith into action. King helped us to see that heaven and earth could meet, and that one day all God's people would be welcome, and God's love would reign supreme. This week, as we celebrate King's legacy, we remember our Savior Jesus, who calls us to pay attention, to listen, to invite others, to follow. Follow him. That is the good news of the gospel today. True life in Christ is found in the following. And for that gift, all God's people say, Amen.